You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Just before you arise, you'll see we have a service introduction. So we do have an introduction like that coming up before some of our readings as well. So I tried to write up something that would help us understand what we're coming to in the reading. So rather than me just saying it, we'll work our way through those things together as noted here. Let's go to the first one now. As we move through today's divine service, take note of the Holy Trinity. In the Bible and in our liturgy, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are called God and Lord. So we must use the context to understand which person of the Holy Trinity is being identified. As we proceed through today's service, as we confess our sins, we are talking. Would you please arise? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, begging him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Amen. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. This is the good news. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. O Lord, O Christ, O Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us the grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity in the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. I invite the children to please come forward at this time. Good morning. We have what's called the creation globe. We have this one round thing, and this is what the heavens and the earth looked like, especially what the earth looked like on the first day after God created. So it looked like this on day one, and then inside, this is what it looked like on day two, like that. So God made the sea, and he made the sky. That's day number two, and then we go to day number three, and we see the green. Because on day number three, that's when God made the dry land, but we still have water, too. And God planted trees and all kinds of wonderful things on day number three. And then on day number four, well, I should have said that on day number one, that's when God made light, darkness, time, all of that. But it wasn't until day number four. What do we have here? We have the sun, the moon, and the stars. So sun, moon, and stars on day number four. So God is able to make light without having a light bulb. Day number one was light, but then he made the light bulbs, we could say, on day number four. Remember we talked about last Wednesday how God made the moon is kind of like our night light. So maybe you guys have a night light, I don't know. But I know when I'm out in the middle of the night sometimes, and the moon is out, well, I'm like, God, thank you for giving me a nightlight. Now I can see better. So God is loving us in all kinds of wonderful ways. So we have day one, two, and three. This is day four. And then on day five, we have, what do we have in the sky? Birds in the sky and fish in the sea. So on day two, he made the sky and the sea. And then on day five, he puts the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea. And then we come to the most important day of all. I believe that God did all of this in order to get everything ready for this. So that means that, well, first of all, what God made on day number six is he made all of the animals. So on here we can see an elephant and a bear, and it looks like a kitty cat and a camel and a moose, all kinds of animals. But then we come to the most important thing that God made on day number six, and that would be the people. And their names are Adam and Eve. Yeah, so those are the first people that God made. So God got everything ready, and then he made the people. And actually, on the inside here, can you read that again, Ava? And me. So God not only made Adam and Eve, but he made you, he made me, he made every one of us. So we live in a world today where they say there is no God, and yet if there was no God, we wouldn't even be here because God's the one who made us. So God wants us to know that all those wonderful things are true. So it was on day number six that God made all the animals, including the dinosaurs. So I have a little card I want to give you. Has a dinosaur on the front and has some dinosaur information on the back. So don't believe that when people tell you, oh, 70 million years ago, that's when the dinosaurs were. No, God made them on day number six of creation. So remember, God made us, God loves us, and through Jesus, heaven is open for us. And you guys have Jesus because you are baptized into Christ. Thanks for coming up. At this time, we go on to our Old Testament reading. And this reading is the entire chapter of Genesis chapter 1 and then the beginning part of chapter 2. It is on God creating the world. So you're going to see how we identify days 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and also 7. But we also have an introduction here as we get into the reading. In this reading, God is the generic term for God. Regarding creation, the Bible tells us that the Father created all things through the Son. It tells us in Colossians chapter 1, regarding Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. One more comment before we get into the reading. You're going to see the word God in yellow many, many times in this reading, and that is the Hebrew word Elohim, so that is the generic word for God, and sometimes that word God can mean God the Father, sometimes God the Son, sometimes God the Holy Spirit. Actually, Elohim is a plural word, so technically you could translate gods. So sometimes when we see the generic term here for God, it's not talking just about the Father or just about the Son or just about the Holy Spirit, but sometimes it's talking about maybe two persons of the Holy Trinity. Sometimes I think it's talking about all three persons of the Holy Trinity. So I hope that's a little bit understandable. Again, I invite you to watch the color coding as we work our way through here. One final comment here, an idea from Harold from class last Thursday. So you know how when you get into the Gospels, if you have a red letter Bible and you open to the Gospels, you see all this red lettering because those are the words of Jesus. Well, here we have red letters, and those are not the words of Jesus, but those are the words of the Son of God before he put on human flesh in the person of Jesus. So I know Harold did that on Thursday, so I've added that in here too, where you see the wording in red. God's work on day one. In the beginning, God, that is the Father working through the Son, created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So you can see already in the very first two verses of the Bible, we have references there to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God, that is in this section here, that is God the Son, who is the Word of God. So God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God, possibly here and in a number of places, when it says God saw that the light was good, this is very possibly the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit recognizing that reality. And then going on, it says, "And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day." We're going to come to that phrase over and over again. There was evening and there was morning. Don't we think about our own existence? We would say there was morning and then there was evening. So why do we have that backwards phrase? Well, that's because from the Jewish way of looking at time, they begin their day with the evening. So we end our day with the evening. They begin it with the evening. Their day begins at sundown. Basically about 6 o'clock at night, we follow Roman time, so our day doesn't change until midnight. So that's why we see that reference like that here, and it will pop up on the other days as well. Let me throw in one more comment here. It's so interesting that we have our year based on the sun, and we have our months based on the moon, but what is the basis for our week? There is nothing in all creation that we have a basis for a week. So why is the entire world following a seven-day week? It's because of right here. God created in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. And even all the godless people in the world, all the atheists and so on, what are they doing? They're following the pattern that God established right here with a seven-day week. God's work on day two. "And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day." So the way we summarize that second day is we say God dispersed the water in certain places. So at the end of the second day, we have the sky and we have the sea, is really what it's saying. God's work on day three. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered into one place and let dry land appear. And it was so. See, that's the power of the word of God, that when the Son of God spoke, then it happened. Even when we think about the Bible, that is the word of God. It is powerful. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together, he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. I'm not a scientist, and I don't understand all of the intricacies of a plant or a tree, but I believe it's a very complex thing. And yet to say that somehow, just by chance, all these plants and trees just appeared. If only these godless scientists could really begin to think about what they're saying, it is such utter foolishness to say there is not an awesome God who made it and who has sustained it for about 6,000 years. That's what the Bible teaches. God's work on day four. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two greater lights, the greater light to rule the day, that would be the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, that would be the moon. And then it says, and the stars. So in three words, the Bible tells us about God making the stars. Now, planet Earth is in what's called the Milky Way galaxy. And that's an average-sized galaxy. And they say there are so many stars, though, in our galaxy, that if you began to count them, and you counted one every second, it would take you about 3,000 years to count the stars in our galaxy. And then to think that there are tens of billions of other galaxies like ours out there. Isn't that so overwhelming that God is such an awesome God? And in three words, all of that appeared. God is such an awesome God. Verse 17. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And then God's work on day five. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the water swarms according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. Now we come to day six, which is most important. And I think you can think about creation like a pyramid. So if you think about it like this, so you have day one, day two, day three, day four, day five. It's all building up to something. Day six, especially the second part of day six, the first part, the animals, the second part, the people. So I believe everything was being put in place for us. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, all those references to kinds, that's so important. Within a kind, there can be adaptation. But you can't go from this kind over to this kind. You can't go from being a monkey over to a human being. So within the kinds, sure, there is adaptation depending on the environment over a period of time. People want to say that that is macroevolution, but it is not. It's simply adapting to the environment. Even for us in our short lifetimes, we adapt to our environment in certain ways. Then God said, that is the Son of God speaking to the Father and the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. In other words, it was perfect. There was no sin. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And then day seven. Getting into chapter 2 now of Genesis. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The word of the Lord. We come now to Psalm 8, and it's divided in three ways here that I'll identify as we work our way through it. First of all, we focus on the Lord's majestic name. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes. And then we focus on the fact that humankind would seem so unimportant, and yet that's not how God sees us. That's the amazing thing. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, what is man that you are mindful of him? That's something for us to ponder, that God is so great and so awesome and so perfect, and we are so sinful and so much nothing, and yet he loves us with an everlasting love. We should be in complete awe of that reality. And then we see here where the Lord gives dominion to humankind, as we already read about in Genesis chapter 1. Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands, all sheep and oxen, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, glory be to the Father. Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Today is the final time for our choir for this season, so I want to acknowledge Harold being our choir director, Gail accompanying the choir, and each of the choir members. Thank you so much for blessing so many of our services. A very beautiful piece today, giving praise to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We come to the New Testament historical book, the book of Acts. So let's go through this little introduction together that we have here right before the reading. This reading is a continuation of Peter's Day of Pentecost sermon. He proclaimed the connection between the Father and the Son, how the Father gave the Spirit to the Son, of greatest importance is the fact that Jesus is the promised Messiah. In Acts chapter 2, going to verse 14, the Bible says, "But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted his voice and addressed them." In other words, the people that were in the crowd who had gathered. And then jumping ahead to verse 22, Peter said, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God, that is God the Father, did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence.'" We have in that quote there, we have not David talking to God, but we have the Son of God talking to God the Father, is what the conversation there is about. And then Peter continues his sermon there in verse 29. "Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." The word of the Lord. Would you please arise? Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Doesn't that catch our attention? Kind of funny. We're talking here about the 11. Judas is already gone, only 11 left of that select group, and yet some of them doubted. It's a shocking thing, isn't it? They know he really died. They saw him risen, and yet still there's doubting. So if they had some doubts, can doubts pop into our minds sometimes? They can. God doesn't want that. He wants us to be in his word. He wants the Spirit to work through that word. He wants us to be sure. And then it says that Jesus came to them and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So once he won the victory over sin, death, and the devil, then all authority was given to him. So now, having that authority, he can give this command with full authority. Sometimes in life, people maybe try to give a command, but they don't have the authority to be able to make that command. But here, though, Jesus has the authority, so he commands, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." So when it says all nations, that means that no one is left out. It doesn't matter what language people speak, what country they live in, how much money they have, what their skin color is, what their cultural practices are. No one is left out here, and age doesn't matter either. From infancy all the way to the end of life, this is for everyone. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." How do you do that? Jesus told them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then after baptizing them, what should you do then? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So that's why Christians are always students. We can never learn all that God has taught. That way we should be in his word every day. We should always be saying, "God, speak to me. I know your word is true. I need to learn. So help me to be a faithful student of your word." But the idea here is to know what God is saying. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can understand what he is saying. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can then step forward to put that word into action. Are we going to fall short miserably? Realistically, we are. But the desire of our heart says, "I know this book is true, I know this book is important, and I want to make application of this book in my life." That is the heart of a Christian. I hope all of us have that desire within us. So Jesus said that we are to observe all that he has commanded, and then he gives a wonderful promise. He said, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Questions, needs, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.